There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Yes, welcome to today's edition of Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe once again, the last day so far, I guess. Sean will be back next week. I am filling in for Sean Sullivan, been filling in most of the week. It's been awesome to be here and talk to the people of Mobile. Usually you can hear me in Huntsville on WVNN on News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Of course, if you want to find out more about me, well, just follow me on Twitter at Michael Yaffe. Yaffe is my last name, just so you all know. I've been saying it all week, but I'll repeat it one more time because I had a caller on my show this morning. Call me Yaffe. It's not Y-A-P-P-Y. It's Y-A-F-F-E-E because it is a legit last name. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Yaffe. Like the Yaffe Facebook page as well. So let's get straight to it. Joining me on the phone right now is our first guest, Congressman Mo Brooks, who, of course, is a Senate candidate as well, as you know. Congressman, thank you so much for coming on with me today.
My pleasure, Michael.
So I always like to ask this first. How is the campaign going?
Seems to be going scary good. There are other candidates who are raising more money. There are no other candidates that I'm aware of who have more contributions from people who reside in the state of Alabama. Granted, our contributions aren't $2,000 and $3,000 on average like with one of the candidates. We're in the $200 to $300 range per household. But the polling data looks extraordinarily good, and President Trump's support helps. We've had the endorsement of FreedomWorks, which is an entity that is strongly in favor of liberty and freedom. They have tens of thousands of members in the state of Alabama. Had the endorsement of Senator Rand Paul. A lot of more endorsements to come, and some that we've already got that we've announced. Senate Conservatives Fund, Club for Growth, which is free enterprise versus socialism. So all in all, it's looking really good.
All right, good. So I did want to ask you this. I mean, we're going to talk about some different things you're doing right now, but I understand they had that a bunch of Republicans had that protest yesterday at the Capitol against the mask mandate. Were you a part of that? I didn't see if you were or not.
I wish I could have been, but I had a scheduling conflict, and I think it's great to challenge Nancy Pelosi to describe where in the United States Capitol the science suddenly changes, such that in one part of the Capitol, the House side, you have to wear a mask, but over on the Senate side, you don't have to wear a mask.
What is the thinking behind all this? I mean, well, first, what is your reaction to the CDC changing once again, wanting more mask mandates, saying vaccinated people need to wear masks in certain situations? Is any of this warranted?
Well, the socialists are essentially nanny state type people who believe it's appropriate for the government to tell us uninformed lower class people what to do, how to conduct ourselves. So that's the big battle, socialism versus liberty or freedom. And this is just symbolic of that bigger fight.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I've seen a lot of media types and people on the left. They also argue that it's a freedom issue, but to them, they say, well, you don't have the freedom to spread the disease to me. So it's almost like a freedom from thing. Like, I have freedom from catching a disease. You don't have the freedom to spread it by staying unvaccinated. What's your reaction to that kind of logic by the left?
the person who wants to protect themselves, or the people who want to protect themselves, have the obligation to do what is necessary to protect themselves. And that means wearing an N95 or an N100 mask. That protects you from COVID-19 virus particles coming into your lungs. Now, you know, there's some debate as to how much protection you get from that, but it's very easy for those who are afraid of COVID-19 to the point that they're doing some of the things that they're doing. It's very easy for them to protect themselves. Now, personally, I've had the vaccine. My wife has had the vaccine. A good number of my kids have had the vaccine. But we did so after a long, deliberative process in which we weighed the pros and cons of each path. You've got the risk of death associated with COVID-19 and the other short-term or long-term aggravations associated with COVID-19. You've also got the risk of death and the short-term aggravations, the side effects associated with the vaccine. And there have been people killed by the vaccine, although quite clearly COVID-19 has killed more. My wife and I, balancing everything, decided to go with the vaccine. But, you know, it's a choice between two bad choices. And I think it's important for us to understand that it's sometimes difficult to pick the path that's going to result in lesser risk, in as much as both paths have risk. And we ought to respect the decisions that are made by adults who have been informed of both options and have made a knowing decision not to get vaccinated. Now, with respect to the mask, let's be real clear. There have been studies about masks. Believe it or not, some masks actually make COVID-19 more likely to be spread. Some masks, like the N95s and N100s, do an excellent job. And the middle-of-the-road masks help a little bit, or to some degree that is relatively unknown. I've always thought it somewhat paradoxical that these people who want to force everyone to wear masks don't seem to care about the science behind which masks are effective and which are not. That's always baffled me.
Well, it kind of baffles me too, although I tend to be of the belief that a lot of this is, one, we just want the government to do something. We don't care if it works or not. It's just, oh, do something. But also, I think it's some virtue signaling. It's a way for people to feel superior to others because, well, I'm wearing the mask. Kind of the same thing with the vaccine. Well, I got vaccinated, so I'm a better person than you.
There might be some of that to it. I'll defer to your and other people's judgment in that regard. I think it's a bigger picture, and that's the nanny state socialist attitude versus an attitude based on liberty and freedom.
Okay, so I did want to talk a little bit more about the Senate race. I said I would ask this question. I was talking with someone this week who tends probably to be a more moderate Republican, but he had told me straight out that one of the main criticisms he has of you is that he feels like you have not done enough for the state of Alabama, meaning you're good at voting against Democrats, but you're not necessarily good at voting for things that bring stuff to the state. What would your response be to that kind of criticism?
Well, first, the person doesn't know what the person is talking about. But second, how well Alabama does is a function of how well America does. But if, you know, you told me off the bat when you said moderate, you told me where the person was coming from. And there aren't going to be very many rhinos or liberal Republicans that are going to vote for me in a Republican primary. They have their candidate running, and that's who they are going to support. Now, there's much to be said about someone who has the courage to vote no against bad legislation, even if it inhibits your ability to pass other legislation. And I am doing my best to try to prevent Congress from making things worse for America, particularly with this out-of-control spending, in as much as we're about to blow through the $30 trillion debt mark. So there's always two sides to the coin. And unfortunately, in order to do some of the things that that moderate wants you to do, you also have to give up a lot of things. By way of example, on January the 6th, 7 of the 8 of us congressmen from Alabama, who are Republicans, congressmen and senators, voted for honest and accurate elections. 7 out of 8 voted on the Trump side of that battle. 1 out of 8 voted with Joe Biden. Now, which one do you think it is that the Democrats let bring home the pork?
That's an interesting point. I'm speaking with Congressman Mo Brooks. He's also running for the Senate as well. I understand that you had put forward an amendment this week to a bill to prevent certain funding going to sanctuary cities. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's a position I've long held, and I've supported legislation like this in the past. Cities who encourage illegal conduct, cities who encourage illegal aliens to reside within their city limits, they should not then be in a position where they ask the federal government, taxpayers across the United States, to help bail them out with whatever monies they need from the federal government to help pay for all of the costs associated with illegal aliens being in their community. That's part of it. Another part of it is to deter these cities from wantonly encouraging illegal conduct. And by and large, it's the same type of cities that you're seeing that have proven themselves to be soft on crime, where crime is blowing through the roof. Cities like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Portland, New York, just go down the list. They don't want to enforce the laws with respect to, say, in San Francisco or Los Angeles, shoplifting. They're going to drive all the stores out of business. What are people going to do in those communities when they can't find a grocery store that's open or can't buy clothes or can't buy shoes? That's where they're headed, because I assume you've seen the video of these people who go in, they have these garbage bags, they fill them up, and then they leave. In these cities, they're making crime pay. Well, illegal aliens and being a sanctuary city, that's also making criminal conduct pay, which in turn begets more criminal conduct. So tell me, Mike, have you seen those videos? Is that what you want to be all across America? I don't.
Oh, yeah, I definitely don't, but I have seen the videos. It's funny. It's ironic. It's horrible, but I mean, I guess it's ironic to... Not really ironic, but it shows the hypocrisy of the Democrats on so much of this stuff, where they're coming from. You know, I heard Bill de Blasio say that not getting the vaccine is criminal, yet he's a guy who wants open borders and doesn't want to enforce some of the laws in cities like you're talking about. So it's amazing where they're coming from.
Well, the socialist Democrats act under the premise that if you're an illegal alien, you carry no diseases with you once you cross the border. Now, we know that's not true, but that seems to be the approach they make.
You know, it's funny. There's a Democrat lawmaker down there who is calling for them to stop, you know, letting these people in because of that very reason. And Joe Biden's basically ignoring him. Congressman Mo Brooks, also running for the Senate. Any last words for the audience real quick?
Yes, this. I hope that every voter in the state of Alabama will be mindful of this circumstance. How many times have you heard a candidate promise that they would do what you wanted them to do, then they get elected, and all of a sudden you're bushwhacked and disappointed because they don't keep their campaign promises? With Mo Brooks, you know you've got a proven conservative, because that's what my record shows, and that's why virtually all of the conservative entities in Alabama and in the United States are going to be backing my candidacy for the United States Senate. So it's your choice. You've got a proven conservative, you've got pretenders.
Congressman Mo Brooks, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know I'll talk to you again in the future. Good luck, my friend.
All right, take care.
All right, there is Congressman Mo Brooks. If you want to react to that, you can, 251-343-0106. We'll be back in a moment. FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean again. I appreciate the opportunity. The last day I will. Sean, I believe we'll be back next week. You know, I realize that I have not said this on this show. I've filling in all week, and I haven't said it. I've said it on my show. Full disclosure for everyone, I have not been vaccinated yet. There's the truth. Now, I'm not anti-vaccine, as most of you have heard me this week. I want people to get vaccinated. So you're like, why haven't you get vaccinated? Well, I will tell you that, one, it's Dale Jackson's fault. If you ever listen to Dale Jackson, he said, if you're wanting to have kids soon, you shouldn't. And I was like, okay. But I really don't think it affects that. I tend to be not a big fan of shots and a little anxious about stuff like that in general. So I was not in a rush to get vaccinated, and I'm 35. So the urgency, I mean, the chances of a 35-year-old dying from COVID is like, I think, 0.05 or something like that. So I have to admit, when cases were already going down before and everything with the initial rollout of the vaccine, I have to admit, I didn't feel as much urgency on my end. And by the way, in the past year, I've worked, I've lived mostly a normal life just because of the circumstances. You know, I've had a wedding, I went to CPAC, I've been to debates, I've been on vacations, and I never caught the virus somehow. I don't know, maybe I did and I was asymptomatic, I don't know. But I have to admit, full disclosure, I have not got it yet. Now, I do, if anything's going to convince me to get it, it's not all this shaming and blaming. It's not the vaccine passport stuff. In fact, that gives me the opposite reaction. All that stuff makes me not want to get it because I just want to say to these people, screw you. I'm a free individual in a free society. The one thing that might convince me to get it is the numbers going up and the chances of actually getting sick. And I don't want to get sick. Even if I have a low chance of dying or being hospitalized, I still don't want to get sick. But I have to say, if I do get vaccinated, I'm still praying about it. But if I do get vaccinated anytime soon, I was wanting to get the J&J vaccine because that is the one that's one shot, one and done. They say, it's not as effective, but it's kind of the older technology. So it's not quite as experimental, but it's also one and done. And if I do it, I just want to be one and done with it. I have to be honest. I also have to be honest, it's harder to find. The J&J vaccine, it's out there, and I can find it, but it's more difficult. You go most of your store pharmacies or whatever, at least around me, it's Pfizer or Moderna. So that kind of discourages me a little bit. But I got to tell you, finding out about Phil Valentine in Nashville getting really sick, or people saying, look, you're either going to get vaccinated or you're going to get the virus because this is so transmissible. That kind of stuff convinces me more to get vaccinated than all this shame and blame and you're stupid and you're a criminal if you don't get vaccinated. That kind of stuff just makes me not want to do it. A lot of this stuff has made me so turned off by all of this. It's craziness. Craziness. I think it's under 700 people in the United States through this whole pandemic in the age 35 group have died of this virus. Out of a population of 4 million 35-year-olds in the U.S., something like that, over 4 million, a little over 600 have died from this. And most, I guarantee you, had some kind of comorbidity. So the real issue, as I've been saying all week, is age. Young people just don't feel the urgency as much to go get the vaccine. That's just the reality. Now, if you want to call in and convince me either to get it or not to get it, I guess you can. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. You can text as well. I mean, I'm just being fully honest. I always try to be fully honest with my audience. I mean, a part of me was hoping everyone else would get vaccinated so I wouldn't have to. I guess a lot of other young people were thinking that way. But I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm totally pro-vaccine. All vaccines. It's just, I didn't feel the urgency because I'm young. Some will call me selfish for that, but there we go. We'll be back. I'm gonna talk about what a lot of this really all is about next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean here on FM Talk 106.5. I really appreciate everyone joining the show. If you want to find out more about me, well, you can. Just follow me on Twitter at Michael Yaffe. Yaffe is my last name, spelled Y-A-F-F-E-E. You can like the Yaffe Facebook page as well. And even though I won't be on again after this week until I have to fill in for Sean again, you can always catch my podcast. Just search the Yaffe program pretty much on any podcast outlets on my social media as well, and you can find it there. So I revealed it. I have not got the vaccine yet. Revealed that in the last segment. Told you why. You know, I'm reluctant sometimes to say because I'm not anti-vax. I don't want to discourage people from getting the vaccine. I would never, ever do that. In fact, you know, the rest of my mom and dad, you know, I told them immediately, go get it. They're older. My mom has lung problems. I was like, go get it, please, right now. I couldn't wait for them to get it. But I have to admit, I didn't feel the urgency as much because I'm 35. Now, the left of the world will say I'm selfish and evil and a criminal. Some will say that. And we'll get into that in a moment. But let's take a call here on this. Let's go to Dave from Mobile. Wants to talk about this. Dave, what do you want to say?
Well, life is a gamble. So this thing that's free, go get your vaccine. Pull up your big boy britches. Move on. Quit whining.
Okay. All right. All right, Dave. I appreciate your call. All right. Does anyone have any disagreement with that? I mean, that kind of convinces me a little bit, I guess. Pull up your big boy britches. Go get your vaccine. Quit Joanna and go get it. Yeah, I know. I mean, yes, I'm not a big fan of shots and stuff like that. And that was a part of this. I do have to say, someone, you can call in, by the way, if you want. 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. Someone did text in and said, the odds that you haven't already had COVID are very small, not even remotely possible unless you hid in a cave the past 2 years. If you think you were lucky, that's not even mathematically possible. You had it, didn't have symptoms, assumed it was allergies or wintertime and normal stuff, et cetera, and nothing to stick out and go to the doctor or didn't get tested otherwise. Most people didn't get tested unless they went to the hospital or their job required it. So, yeah, I revealed in the last segment that I was shocked I never caught it. Now, my brother and his wife did, you know. But I went to so many. I had to live my normal life during this, especially being in radio. I got married last summer in Florida during this. I still went out to places. I still went to church, even though it wasn't as crowded. I went to CPAC. I went to so many public places that I went on vacation for my honeymoon last year and all that. I moved here. Somehow never caught it. Now, some are saying yeah, maybe it's impossible. You probably didn't know it. I will say this one. Last February, right before a lot of this started in 2020, February, I did get really sick. For like 4 days, I got super sick and that never happens to me. And I was out. I didn't lose my sense of taste or smell or anything, but for like 4 days I had to call in sick, which I like never do. And I was out of it, but I like quarantined myself in my house. So I guess I didn't spread it, not because I wanted to, just because I didn't feel good. So I don't know, maybe I had it then and didn't know it because it was really before all of this craziness around it started. So there is that. I will say as well, I kind of thought like this person did and the person that just texted that maybe I had it and I was asymptomatic, but I'm sure a lot of people that are getting the Delta variant now, they probably thought the same thing. And then all of a sudden they're getting sick. So that's why I'm like, I don't know if I trust that maybe I had it, but I was asymptomatic. Because a lot of people are still catching it who probably thought the same thing. Got another caller on the line right now. Arthur from Mobile. Arthur, what do you want to say?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that you're not alone. I have not received the shot yet. And my reasoning is just a little different than yours. We've been studying the flu for almost 70 years, and we have a vaccine that roughly is 30-35% effective. I just don't believe that this vaccine that's been only, produced in the last you know, 8 or 9 months. No long-term effects can be proven yet on this because it's so early. You know, the FDA has not, given the stamp of approval on this vaccination. I just don't see the point. And, I would not worry about people trying to shame you into getting an injection. It's your body. It's your choice.
I appreciate your call. You know, I had someone text in, say something similar, that when the FDA fully approves it, I will look into it, but I'm not going to be their guinea pig. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there is a part of me that's like, this is new. And here's the thing. Like I said, when you look at the stats, I'm 35. If I catch it, the chances of me getting really sick, hospitalized, and dying are low. I mean, obviously, there's a chance. I don't want to get really sick. I don't really want to test that theory in terms of give me the virus, but I would prefer just not to get it. But the thing is, the chances are really low. So with that, the urgency to get it put something pretty new in my body. You know, it's like, if I don't have to put something new in my body like that, why am I going to do it if I don't have to? And the reason why I bring this up, other than I want to be honest with you, is that I think there's a lot of people out there like me. The media is trying to make it seem like the anti-vaxxers are just, the anti-vaxxers are out there and they're just basing all this on misinformation and blah, blah, blah. I think there are just a lot of young people that kind of felt like me. They just didn't feel the urgency. It's something new. And now the cases are going up, they feel more of an urgency. So maybe let's take another call here. Let's go to Bob from Mobile on this. Bob, what do you want to say?
Hey, I'm going to see if I got this right. So if I understand everything that I've heard over the last few days correctly, whether you are vaccinated or not vaccinated, you can transmit this disease to somebody else. Isn't that true?
You know, I have to admit, we're getting mixed signals on that, because they say there's some new study that came out from the CDC, which they didn't really quote, but the Washington Post put it out, that you could transmit it. But from what I understand, you can only really transmit it if you have a breakthrough infection, and breakthrough infections are still really low. So the verdict is still kind of out on that. But go ahead. I get your go ahead.
Well, based on that information, which is what I heard that you could break through whether you had a vaccine. You can actually get the virus, but it's just going to be less severe, and the possibility of death, they're telling us, is lower. That's what they tell us anyway. So that's what that tells me, is this is a matter of your own protection, whether you choose to protect yourself or not. Wear a mask if you want to protect yourself. That's what those things are for. They've always been for that. So this still, to me, is a matter of personal choice. And I'll just say that I'm not vaccinated.
Yeah. And what was the main reason you didn't get vaccinated?
And I'm in my mid-50s. I'm healthy. I'm active. And I have gone about my normal life unafraid.
Okay. I mean, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling in and being honest. I mean, I have to admit, if I was over 50, I would probably feel more of an urgency. But I've known people around my age that have caught it. And so, you know, one did get pretty sick, but most of them got sick, but it was like, you know, the flu or something, and they were fine. And so I'm getting a bunch of texts in. I had a feeling this might get a reaction today. One person said, you have to for the community and to not get sick. So I need to do this for the community. And here's the thing. That's the collectivist mindset. Well, the community, and they'll say, well, you don't want to spread it to others. If you're vaccinated, and this is the whole point, if you are vaccinated, what do you care if someone spreads it? Because you're vaccinated. Unless the vaccines don't work, what does it matter? If you're vaccinated, you're protected, go on with your lives. That's why the messaging with the CDC this week has been so mixed, because the whole point of getting vaccinated is so you're protected and can move on with your life, and now they're saying to wear masks again? It's a disincentive. Now, another person texted in and said, what the guy said is factual, as if you talk to enough people, who have had COVID been bobbing and weaving. People with COVID have had or have all kinds of symptoms. Yes, the no smell or taste. Some people got tendonitis, which is interesting. COVID toes, brain fog, sniffles, etc., yada, or none at all. I went to the doctor because I was feeling so out of it at work, and I'm on ADHD medicine. And sure enough, he asked, did I get COVID? And said no. He got me the antibody test, and sure enough, it came back as positive. So the brain fog thing might be part of it. I mean, there is definitely some craziness here. If you want to call in on this, you can. You know, another person said, I have not changed anything in my life. My wife and daughter both tested positive last year. I was tested twice, both negative. I was also tested for antibodies, none. But I do know two adults over the age of 50 that were in good health that both died from COVID. Vertically unpredictable. Okay. I mean, this is kind of, I have to admit, I'm one of these people that's a little conflicted. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Vaccines are one of the best inventions in the history of mankind. Seriously, we've been able to eradicate diseases on so many things because of this. And I believe that. And I believe older people get vaccinating is fine. But I'm also someone who never got the flu shot. And I'm also someone who hasn't got the COVID vaccine yet because I'm younger. So maybe I'm just, maybe some people think I'm a hypocrite for that. I tend to like natural immunity. But while the media makes this narrative over and over again that this is really just about Republicans' misinformation, I think most people that didn't are like me. They're like me. The idea that we were going to put out a new vaccine that was created basically in under a year, which is great, but the idea we were going to put that out and that 100% of people in America were going to get it, that was never realistic. That was never realistic. Even 90%. There's no way, especially for a disease where 99% of people survive. And the younger you get, the more survivability, you know, you have over this. You really expected 100% of people, 90% of people in the country to get vaccinated with that knowledge? It was never going to happen. So now they're pushing mandates. And the mandates are not making you want to get vaccinated. It's doing the opposite. We can take your more calls, text 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Dalton, you can go ahead and run the music now if you want. We'll take a break, and I have more to say on this when we get back. I want to play some audio as well. That's pretty instructive on this. 251-343-0106. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean. Really glad to be here. Midday Mobile FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
So I have had a couple different people now text me and say that the unvaccinated, the reason why you want to get vaccinated is because variants will evolve out of this among the unvaccinated, and that will cause problems. That this comes from unvaccinated or whatever. Now, I will say this. The Delta variant comes from India. Its origins are in India, which didn't have the vaccine yet. So you can't blame this necessarily on unvaccinated Americans in creating the variant, because the variant was created somewhere else. Now, the idea is that it will evolve into an even worse variant. Okay, that's an interesting argument. Not sure I completely buy that. I mean, this disease is so infectious all over the world that I think no matter what we do, there's going to be variants out there spreading. I mean, that's just the reality that I think. Let's take some more calls here real quick. Hold on. Let's go to John in, let's go to Matt from Mobile. I'm sorry. Matt from Mobile. What do you want to say?
Hey, I just wanted to say, what concerns me about the vaccine is that I don't know what's in there. And, you know, it's not like going to eat something unhealthy at McDonald's or smoking a cigarette. I mean, you're injecting this into your bloodstream. And we don't really know what's in it. They've got, you can't find the ingredients. And then when you do find them, they leave stuff out. like these what's called adjuvants that they add to the vaccine that supposedly, create an immune response, like aluminum and things like that, that they don't have to put in the ingredients list. I mean, it just, and then also the, I've heard doctors describe that this is not really a vaccine, that they had to change the definition of vaccine, that a vaccine used to be like the one you were talking about that cured polio and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Those were a dead version of the virus, that you put into your bloodstream to protect yourself from the virus. This vaccine is not a dead version of the coronavirus. So it's really not even a vaccine. It's a chemical compound of chemical agents that give you a general immune response. So why people don't care about that, or they just want to ignore that and just get the vaccine anyway, I don't know. But I wouldn't touch this vaccine with a 10-foot pole.
Well, gotcha, Matt. I appreciate your call. I totally understand what you're saying. I think the J&J is more of a traditional thing, although I'm not an expert. I obviously am not an epidemiologist. You know, it is true that RNA is kind of it's been around, but kind of a new on this thing, on this scale. But that could end up being better. It could end up making it even better in terms of the long run. But I think you're right, because it's still a newer thing, people aren't sure. Let's go to another call. Let's go to John in Foley. John, what do you want to say?
Well, I've been listening to all the people that don't want the vaccine. And the vaccine's really twofold. One, to protect you, but another thing is to protect other people. Let's take you, for example, that haven't taken the vaccine. You get infected, you're asymptomatic, and you're not showing any symptoms, but you can deliver the virus. Let's take your parents. Your mother got the vaccine, but for whatever reason, it breaks through on her, and you give it to her. You really should get the vaccine, not so much for your protection, but protecting other people in your age group, because you are one that is not subject to severe symptoms. My daughter delivered twins with COVID, and neither of them had any problems. She had no problems. So, I mean, it's out there. It works. It's not 100%. We already know that, but no vaccine is. No vaccine's ever been 100%. So I just don't understand why people aren't getting it. It makes no sense. There's no real side effects. And my wife works at the hospital, and she said they're almost full again of COVID patients. So that's my thoughts.
Okay, I appreciate it. So that's what I hear a lot from other people and media pundits and stuff, is that you should do it more for the community than yourself. Because, say, I could give it to my mom could get a breakthrough infection. But, I mean, I'm looking at the stats right now. Even if she has a breakthrough infection, I mean, the amount of people that are dying from breakthrough infections after they've been vaccinated is minuscule. Look at the New York Post had an article on this today, and a picture example that, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words of about how many people are getting breakthrough infections and how many of them are getting hospitalized or dying after a breakthrough infection. So the idea I need to be worried about breakthrough infections if I spread the virus, I don't think it's going to convince a lot of people. Because if they have the vaccine, they're protected. And even if they can spread it, they're not going to get seriously ill. Let's go to Gary in Mobile. Gary, you're the last caller this hour. What do you want to say?
Hey, I got a couple things here. One problem has just been repeated by many of your callers. I heard ... Well, where did you hear that? Who'd you hear it from? Where did they hear it from? It's just a vicious rumor mill of unsubstantiated just BS. That's point one. Point two is, why do all Americans need to have it? Why do we all need to get the vaccine when the people coming across the Texas border do not?
Yeah, I've heard that argument a lot as well. I appreciate your call. Bunch of people texting me in. I mean, you're right on that. That just shows hypocrisy. Bunch of people texting me in saying, well, you could spread this even if you have the vaccine. The CDC just came out with this. Well, that's different than what they had before. See, some of this stuff is changing even out of the CDC, but I'm telling you, yes, you can spread it. Yes, there can be breakthrough infections, but the amount of breakthrough infections that could cause serious illness is so tiny, according to even the CDC right now and other stats. So I just don't think it's an effective argument. Coming up in the next hour, we have Andrew Sorrell, State Representative Andrew Sorrell, running for state auditor as well. He's going to join us, talk some Alabama politics. We'll be back. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean.